It's something that used to happen all the time, but COVID kind of changed it a little bit. You may have been at a cafe, a restaurant, sitting in a local park, on public transport, really anywhere, when you turn and see a friendly face and start a conversation. John O'Bell used to do this all the time, and he was finding a similarity in the stories that strangers were telling him. It had to do with life here and overseas, so he decided to start telling those stories through a YouTube channel called Living Abroad from Overseas. John, thank you for being here and speaking to us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me what this YouTube account, Living Abroad from Overseas, is all about.
Basically, this YouTube channel is just to talk to people from overseas who have come to live in Australia.
Yeah.
They're just telling me their journey, how they came here, what they came here for, and all that stuff. So we are just hearing the story from different people from all over the world.
Where did the idea come from?
Well, one day I went out, and it's just not only one day. Every time you go out, people ask you, where are you from? Yeah, why are you here and all that stuff? So in this case, I just want to direct people to the YouTube channel so that when they ask that question, I'll direct them there and see, okay, this is the story. You can listen to all the people's story and why they are here. Mm. So you don't need to ask individually, where are you from? But you can see all of them there.
What do you think about that question? Mm. Where are you from? When someone asks that of you, what do you think?
Well, if I meet you for the first time and you ask me that question straight away, I really don't like it. But if we have a conversation, we like introduce yourself to me, and then we take like about 4 or 5 minutes talking, then I don't mind it. But I don't like it straight away asking me, where are you from?
Yeah, because yeah. What does that feel like to you when that's the first question that I might say if I met you?
Yeah.
What does that feel like to you?
Well, it's a bit racist, I think. You have to have a conversation with me first, know me a little bit, mm-hmm. and then ask me where I'm from.
Yeah.
But not straight away. It's, why are you asking me straight away that question? It's like, why do you want to know straight away?
How often when you were out and about in Newcastle, were you meeting other people who had like a similar story to you of not being necessarily, been here for a while, but having lived in other parts of the world?
Yes. I've talked to so many people who are living here in Newcastle, but they are from all over the world. Like I've talked to people from Libya, Japan, Malaysia and Malawi. They're all living here. And they all have got different stories. So in my YouTube channel, we just bring that story to people who have got opportunity to have a look at that channel.
A lot of young people, when you ask them what they want to do with their life, they say they want to be a YouTuber. Did you ever think that you'd be a YouTuber, John?
No, not at all. Not at all. Basically, this COVID-19 thing have brought a lot of imagination to people. And I was just one day sitting at home and we discussed with my wife and said, okay, now what can we do? Because she was at home, working from home. Me, I was still going to work.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the day, we were just home. The pubs were closed. There's nothing to do. We just look at each other and the kids. So I thought, okay, what can I do to go out of the house so that I can be productive outside there? So I thought, okay, if I start a YouTube channel and I interview people from wherever they've come from, that will make me come out of the house.
Yeah.
And that's where basically the idea started from.
Has it been hard to set up?
Oh, well, it costed a bit of money to buy the cameras and equipment and all that stuff.
Yep.
Lucky because we were not going out as much, so we saved a bit of money for that. So I was able to buy the cameras and the equipment to set up that YouTube channel. But it's not, you can't just go out one day and say, okay, this is what I want to do. Let's buy it. It takes a bit of time to do that.
What have you learned in that process of setting it up, finding a space, editing it, uploading it? Has it been a learning curve?
It's a lot of work. It's just not making video. It's a lot of work. We have to, when we get somebody to interview, we have to be very comfortable with them. They have to be very comfortable with me so that they can talk, tell me their stories. And operating the cameras is not easy as well. You don't just go there and take photos or take a video.
Yep.
You have to set it the right angle and the right like the lights and all that stuff. Mm. Yeah. So it's not easy. It's really not easy. Yeah. So you have to, yeah, I had to learn myself how to do most of that stuff as well.
Amazing. Yeah. How open have you found people are to sharing their stories?
Well, when they're comfortable with you, then they are open to share their story with you. So I give them time. When they come in, I have a chat with them. I give them time to read the questions we normally ask them. Mm. So if they're comfortable with that, those questions I've given them like a tablet, then they are okay. They are free to, they become very free to talk to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we just don't ask very personal questions. We just ask general question, their journey from where they've come from to Australia and something like that. Yeah.
Does sometimes the story surprise you?
Yes. A lot of those stories surprise me. Like when I was interviewing somebody from Japan, basically he's been here for 34 years.
Wow.
He met the wife in Japan, and the wife told him, okay, now it's time to go to Australia. Let's go. And he said, yes. He packed his things and came to Australia.
And that was it?
Yeah.
That was all he needed.
Yeah, yeah. And he told me, John, that's the best way. You don't argue with women. You don't argue with them.
Yes, dear. Yeah. Yes, dear. Yes. When are we going? Yeah. Tomorrow.
Yeah. And some of the people told me, well, before even they came here, they didn't know that their money from the country they're coming from can be used here. So they tried to pay the taxi with their currency from their money. And they didn't know. Basically, they didn't know. And the taxi didn't accept that kind of money. So there was, I thought money is money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've had so many interesting stories as well from people I've interviewed on my channel.
Do you see a lot of similarities between the stories, even though they're different people, different ages, different nations that they have spent time in before coming to Newcastle? Do you see things that are the same?
Yes. The language barrier.
Yeah.
Although some of them speak English from the countries they've come from, Australia have got a lingo which people really don't understand. So that
yeah,
one is
sorry
really,
about that. Yeah,
that was really a barrier for them. The Australian talked to them and they was okay, what did you say?
I don't understand a word of that.
They don't understand anything like that. Yeah, so it's the language is the main thing and the lingo. It's really a barrier for most of people, including even the doctors I've interviewed in my channel.
Mm.
The language was really a big issue for them. And the other thing is from where they're coming from, sometimes they pay bill in a month. Here, it's paid maybe weekly or fortnightly, and that one throws them away.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, how do we do this, paying everything in a fortnight?
It's those small things that we don't even think of,
yes,
you know, being different.
It's small, but it's big to them. They don't understand until they've been here for a while. And also, the other thing is when people are looking for accommodation, where to live, they don't have a reference, like the rental references.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask, okay, where's your reference? And they've been here for 3 days. Where do you get that? Yeah, so most of them don't get the properties they're looking for because they don't have the rental history.
Yeah.
Unless you get somebody who is going to be your referee. And if you've been here for 3 days, how do you get that? So that's also a challenge for most of the people who have come in Australia.
All right, John, it's time to flip the script a little bit. You're usually asking the questions on your YouTube channel. I'm going to ask you some questions now.
Okay, yeah, bring it on.
Because you told me you've been in Newcastle for 17 years.
Yes, I've been here for 17 years.
So where have you lived around the world other than Newcastle?
I've lived in Kenya. That's where I came from. Yeah, so basically I came here as a student at the University of Newcastle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you studying?
I was doing business management.
Nice.
Yeah.
And loved it so much you stayed.
Oh, yes. And now I'm working for federal government.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's why I stayed, and I've got an Aussie woman too. So, yeah, those are the things which made me stay.
Yeah.
My parents didn't really like me to stay. They wanted me to come and study and go so that I can manage the business back home.
Yep.
But, the power of a woman.
Yes, dear.
Yes, yes, dear. That one made me stay. So,
what type of business do your parents have back home?
Tea. tea plantation.
Great. Amazing. Yeah. Mm. How different is that from your life working for the federal government here in Newcastle?
It's really different. because over there I was going to manage the family business. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but over here I'm employed by the government, so it's totally different. Somebody is my manager. But over there I could be the manager myself.
Although I think your parents may have already managed you for a long time before.
They did that, but now there's somebody doing that for.
What do you miss about Kenya that you don't have here in Newcastle?
Family, like the brothers and sisters and your sisters and the that family connection. Yeah, you miss that a lot. And the people I've interviewed too in my channel also say, we miss family a lot. Because that language, which we speak, which we don't speak here, I speak mostly English here. And if I meet people from Kenya who really don't come from my native language, we speak a language called Swahili.
Yeah.
And we both understand that. But your own language, we don't speak that at all. So you miss a lot of those small things like, family connection.
It's been a really hard year as well to have family in different parts of the country, in different parts of the world. How has that been for you, not knowing when you may even get back to Kenya?
Like the flights are not there anymore. Yeah. So we just talk over the phone and something like that. So they ask you, are you okay? You ask them, are they okay? And back home in Africa, like the COVID thing is not managed properly. Mm-hmm. So you worry about that all the time. Is my family okay? Are they all right?
Yeah.
If they don't call you for several days, you just get worried. Or if you receive a call in the middle of the night, it's like, oh, what's going on? Because sometimes they don't know the time difference.
They forget.
They forget. They just call you whatever they think, like, okay, let's call him now. They just call you. So those type of phone calls worries you a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. You told me that you wanted to record 295 of these videos and stories.
Yes.
Why that number?
I want to interview one person from every country.
Okay.
So one person, wherever I get them, from every country in the world until I get to that number, 295.
How many have you done so far?
I've done about 17 because it's just about 2 months, YouTube channel, but I've done 17 people from different countries.
So if people have a story that they would love to share with you about living overseas, about coming to Newcastle, about doing it the other way as well, maybe they're from Newcastle and they're living overseas at the moment, how can they get in contact with you, John?
Yeah, my YouTube channel is John Obel, and Obel is O-B-E-L-L. There's no apostrophe.
Right.
So John Obel, you can get there, and then you can put comments, and then like, and then, I can get in touch with you so we can do an interview. And also, I've interviewed somebody who was staying here and went back to Kenya. And came back. He was in Kenya for about 21 years.
Wow.
And he came back with a woman from Kenya.
The opposite to you.
The opposite to me. So, women power. So you go. It's really.
We love that.
I interview people from here to overseas or from overseas to here. So
great.
It really doesn't matter. If you have a story about where you've stayed for a longer period in overseas, we can interview you in the channel.
You can find Living Abroad from Overseas as well on Facebook if you're interested. So go and check out what John is doing there. It's so lovely to meet you and speak with you. Best of luck with getting to 295 on your YouTube. And I love what you're doing. So thank you for doing it.
If you have some people who would like to be interviewed, you can connect them with me. We can do that.
Perfect. John, so lovely to meet you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
John Obel there, his new series that you can find on YouTube is called Living Abroad from Overseas. You can find that on Facebook as well. If you have a story of your time living overseas, maybe you are now living here, having lived elsewhere, John would love to hear from you. We need to help him get to that 295 stories told, one from every country of the world.